This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It's hour number three live down here at Nafsker Park, just outside Intrust Bank Arena, counting down the time to tip off basketball. It's 9 o'clock now. We're 2 hours from games tipping off nationally. We're about 4 hours from games tipping off at Intrust Bank Arena. Houston's up first. We are set up here on the stage. We'll be out here all day. I'll be out here doing this. I'll be over with the 12 News crew. I can see their booth. We've got a DJ set up. Our guy Zeb's got his turntables. Here's what I would tell you to do. Start thinking of the most obscure songs you can now and do me a favor. Just walk up and please, like, just give Zeb an obscene amount of requests for the craziest, most, you know, obscure music that nobody's ever heard of, and see if you can get it.
I know he loves that. He loves it when people, you know, give random requests like that.
Every DJ does.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keeps me on my toes.
Yeah.
I don't think there's bad requests. I just think there's good requests at the wrong time.
Well, hey. You do such a good job. You have this nice selection. I want you to stop everything you're doing and do what I want you to do, and play, you know, Freebird.
Well, I think there are some bad requests. Like, if I came up to you and I was like, hey, can you play the Hamster Dance? You would probably not be okay with me requesting the Hamster Dance.
But like I said, there's always great requests. Every request is good. I just don't think every request is good all the time.
So
maybe the Hamster Dance is good at a middle school dance.
Okay.
Maybe Free Bird is good at a school reunion.
Will you play the Macarena for me if I request that?
Now, the Macarena is actually
only if you do it center stage.
Yes.
Fair enough.
Yes. Zeb will be out here with the DJ booth. It's going to be a blast. We do have. Oh, listen to that. Oh, Max. I knew I'd get Max excited when
he's taking my job.
Free Bird.
Hold on. He's taking my job.
I knew it. And we're just welcoming it in here. Freebird's the first one I could think of.
Well, there's much worse than the Hamster Dance and Freebird.
Oh yeah, sure. Do us that favor. Come up here and mess with Zeb a little bit. Give him all of your requests. But it'll be fun. So you've got your turntables up here. You've got the whole DJ setup.
We got massive subwoofers, massive speakers here on stage. Thanks to Odyssey and Pizza Hut and Taco Bell for having us on the stage out here. And we're going to be partying 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yep.
And Odyssey is going to be doing the groove on the stage. You guys are live every morning, tomorrow morning as well. Yep. And it's going to be a great party downtown.
You've had a lot of time to work with the city of Wichita Parks and Rec and the team down there, really putting all of this together and the activations with the Fan Fest and everything. From our perspective, obviously you're with us with Odyssey and part of our family and everything, but it's been so great to have that partnership with Parks and Rec.
Oh, absolutely. The city of Wichita Parks and Rec, Kay Sears out here and Reggie as well. The people at City of Wichita are amazing. They want to do fun things. They want this whole park and space to be active, especially with it being the first time that the park during a tournament like this.
And that's the thing, so if you're out here in 2018, which was just incredible, now you basically have that with another block, another city block to work with. And I know the parties on the other side are great too, and those folks are doing everything they can. But I'm just looking around here. We've got Shaken and Stirred, which is the drink trucks. I see cheese.
We have four.
Cheese Pansy. Yeah, four of those.
Four of those.
Plenty of beer also out here. The Pizza Bus. I can't see it, and I apologize to the ones I can't read because there's some things.
It's the ICT Pizza Bus. That's what it's called.
It's the Pizza Bus.
I'm not familiar with Cheese Pansy, but I want to be familiar with
you
that.
You haven't had Cheese Pansy.
I've not had Cheese Pansy.
It's like fondue-y type.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Anything
I've
cheese.
I've got to check that out.
And then, again, thanks to our friends over at Homegrown. They just brought us some coffee and Pop-Tarts.
They did.
There's a Pop-Tart in the car for you, Zeb.
Oh, okay.
It's in there. But that just like all of it, and I talked about this off the top. If you're just joining us, or if maybe you're listening to us, you're out of town, you're in town, and you're looking for some sports talk radio, and we're doing that for you. These businesses, they do everything to make this amazing. Come support. To spend the weekend down here. If you're not going to the games in there, just come down here and watch basketball. We've got a big screen TV here in Nafsker Park that's going to have games on. This is going to be incredible.
Yep, we'll have all the live games that's going on in the arena and outside of the arena. I know the Jayhawks will be playing this evening as well, of course. We'll have to kind of cut that in and out on their screen out here. But we got a large screen, we have large speakers, and we have a large party down here at Nafsker Park all weekend long.
I see games.
Yeah.
This is great.
Cornhole. I love playing cornhole, and I'll take you guys all on cornhole. Sure. I think the big thing before we let you go.
If you play cornhole like your song requests, then you're going down.
Fair enough. I think that's fair. Last thing before we let you go, the biggest thing about this entire FanFest area and that we're so happy to be a part of is that it's free to the public.
Yes.
You know, it's not ticketed. You don't have to worry about paying anything to get in. So even if you don't have tickets into the games, even if you're not going inside in Trustbank Arena, this activation is all free to the public, open to the public. And I mean, that's cool. You don't have to worry about paying.
And I think the best part about that is it is free. And we all hear about parking in Wichita, especially downtown. And we completely understand the city of Wichita has extended their queue line. So there's actually a queue line stop directly north. Is that north?
North
of Nafsker Park right there to where, let's say you go park in one of the public lots here in the city of Wichita, jump down on Douglas, ride that free queue line over here to Nafsker Park where you're a block away from the arena. It just makes sense.
They have a park and ride at East High School too, by the way, that you can take advantage of. You can go park at East High, which is right down the street, and get a ride here. Or you can pay a little bit and park. I don't think it's free beer down here at Nafsker, but there's plenty of it. It will be a fun party. I can't wait. Sun's creeping up over the buildings right now.
It doesn't feel as cold as it did an hour.
Oh, no. It's much warmer now than it was an hour ago. An hour ago was the coldest. Now we're getting warm. We're going to be 60 degrees, sunny, no wind today.
Just about.
For the first day of spring. Let's go.
And we'll dance and warm you up.
That's right. Come out
to Nafsker Park. I'll see you guys here.
I'm not afraid to boogie it a little bit. Don't worry about that. Appreciate Max on the Freebird. We got a lot to come here on Sports Daily, too. The Chiefs make a move yesterday that we want to talk about. We want to get into the NFL a little bit. Still no momentum on Aaron Rodgers. And I think some of the stuff we talked about yesterday is coming even more true today. The appetite for the shenanigans is low. I'm curious to see how much of that changes. We're going to try and get our buddies Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland, to be able to pop over there. They were at practice all day yesterday, basically, taking in all of the teams. Every team essentially had local angles, and so we were talking to all the coaches and players and local angles. So that's all coming for you as well over the next two live hours. We will be back here tomorrow for four more hours live. It will be much warmer, much windier, so that could be an adventure. I'm seeing everybody set up. I haven't even seen the other side of the arena yet. This side's looking great. Let's go. Get down here. Check it out. Games now officially less than 2 hours away. Come down, have lunch, watch the first round of games, and then get ready for the games in the arena.
Are there any last-second changes you're making to your bracket, or are you locked in?
I almost never do that. So unless there's like an injury or something, I do it, and I do it almost immediately. I always do it the night of Selection Sunday, and then I just sort of walk away from it. Even when it's like, I put the winner of UNC San Diego State to advance no matter who it was.
Yeah.
And so, no, Not really.
So I had Ole Miss moving on originally after watching North Carolina play San Diego State in the first four. Like, I'm going to probably switch that. I think the Tar Heels can
see. And I want to switch it back because I don't want North Carolina to do well. Like, I'm like, all right, no, everybody's on North Carolina. Now I want to go back to Ole Miss. Chris Beard, who's an incredible tournament coach, has a pretty talented team. We'll see. We know how good North Carolina is. Come on, they're always. They got good players. All right, we'll come back. More Sports Daily. Let's talk a little Chiefs. When we return, don't go away.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily, rocking and rolling here on a Thursday live, Nafsker Park. We are here until 11 o'clock, all 4 hours with you live today, which will take us right up to the tip of the opening games. We'll look at some bets in the next hour, kind of get you what we've been thinking on the first slate. So I take them, Tommy, when I do bets here, I take them like in halves. So I'll take like the first session of the day, right, and do them, and then the second session of the day. So I have some first session bets that I like. It's interesting now to pay so much attention to the lines like we do, because you can sort of throw the seeds out the window, right? Like, you look at even who's favored, and there are a lot of double digit seeds that are favored over their single digit seeds. So that's an interesting thing to look at here as we're in the tournament. But let's talk a little football here. The Chiefs make another move yesterday.
Yeah, they do. I had missed that until just a little while ago. You know, having Jerry Tillery, you know, added to their team provides, you know, more depth. And that's something you mentioned it when we were teasing it earlier, that they just keep finding more money to be able to, you know, bring in some added depth on this team.
He's an interesting player. I think as much as anything, when I saw that, it was more of like, okay, and we've said this before, the draft is almost certainly going to need to prioritize pass rush. And so, Tillery, when you see people talk about him and evaluate him now, it's like, how much does he have left in the tank? But I think honestly at the position, I think it's a really smart move, because it's probably a rotational basis for your defensive line. I mean, Jones and Karloftis will be out there a lot. We'll see what Felix and Udike Uzomah, but they're probably, I'm going to guess that Spags rotates defensive linemen a ton this year, especially if they draft a bunch of young ones as they get those guys acclimated. So just having some more depth there makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. The concern that I had, you know, even recently within the last few days, has been about the depth on the defensive line, and whether we're talking about interior defensive line or on the edge, you know, because they don't have Derek Nnadi anymore. Derek Nnadi signs with the Jets and, you know, is not with the team anymore. And, you know, even though Derek Nnadi wasn't somebody that I think anybody looked at and said, okay, that is a star player, he was reliable, he was consistent. And that's, you know, the old saying, the best ability is availability, and Derek Nnadi was always there, it seemed like. And so I was concerned about just the level of depth on the defensive line. So bringing in somebody like Jerry Tillery to at least provide, you know, added resources and a veteran presence, I think is important.
It is important. And it also maybe alleviates the need somewhere in the draft to go attack that position. What blows me away is that they keep finding ways to bring free agents in. Like, they haven't they did the restructuring they had to do, but that was for the bigger ticket free agents. Now it's like, is there another restructure coming? It makes me wonder about Trey Smith. Can they alleviate their tag or their cap space this year by getting rid of that tag and pushing some of that? I kind of, all of it collectively makes me think there's still a big something coming. I don't think it's a big name free agent, but I think it's a big financial.
Well, because you've already got the restructuring of Patrick Mahomes and Chris Jones. Like, yes. those two things have already happened.
Kelsey
can't really do a whole lot. And so I mean, as far as being able to play with money and move money around, it's going to have to be probably a Trey Smith long-term extension where you can get out from underneath some of that initial cap hit dollars on that franchise tag.
Yeah, I think so, because people have mentioned McDuffie extension and they don't have the money for that yet.
Yeah.
And that I don't think that can happen because he's not on an expensive deal. So that's a pretty curious part, is what are they going to still do to alleviate this? It's been, we talked, was it Tuesday, with our Chiefs insider Felix Johnson about some of the things they've been able to do and like where they are in the cap. And I think they've done a really nice job this offseason. I think they have done as good a job as was presented to them at left tackle. Yeah, Cam Thomas was out there. He went to Houston yesterday.
Yeah.
Which makes more, Houston lets go of Laremy Tunsil and they replace him with Thomas, who's not as good, but decent backup plan.
Cam Robinson.
Cam Robinson. I think that all things considered, they weren't going to get Ronnie Stanley. So to approach it the way that they have, I'm not guaranteeing its success. Don't get me wrong. I think it's been a good backup plan. Trading Joe Tooney comes with a lot of risk, a ton of risk, not just because he's a all-pro left guard, but because he was your safety valve at left tackle.
He was versatile.
Well, he was all they had. Like, he was the only thing they could do, and now you don't have that anymore. So if, you're still relying on a lot of unknown at left tackle, I think, but they can still attack that through the draft too. And I was listening to, I think it was Rich Eisen yesterday, who follows us here on Sports Daily. And when they were going through mocks, I think their general assumption, and of course Eisen with his connections to the NFL, was still left tackle for the Chiefs at that spot, which, look, it would be fine because you're going to need to replace Jawan Taylor at tackle after this year. He's not coming back. So if they take a tackle early, you hope it's your left tackle. Maybe it ends up being your right tackle. Either way, that is interesting to hear some people that are following that a little more closely still think tackle for the Chiefs. And I'd be fine with that, but it's all about player evaluation, right? If there's the tackle that they like, do they move up? I think what they've done through the offseason is create the flexibility that they need to pretty much do anything in the draft. They could trade up and I'd be fine with it. They could trade down and I'd be fine with it. They could pick best player available, I think, at this point, and I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, going back to the offensive line from a pure production standpoint only, we're only talking about the play on the field. I do think, and time will tell, but I do think that it's a wash. I think it will end up being a wash because you downgraded, you would think, at left guard with Kingsley Suamataia replacing Joe Tooney.
Yes.
But I would think that it's an upgrade, even a small one potentially, at left tackle. And time will tell what Jalen Moore turns out to be, but he's been thought of very highly. He's just been, as we've talked about before, stuck behind a guy like Trent Williams in San Francisco and hasn't really had an opportunity to shine. So I think right now I'm willing to say that that's probably a wash from a production standpoint. What you lose with Joe Tooney is the veteran presence. You lose the versatility. You lose, kind of that, the guy who was the crafty veteran in the locker room. You don't have that on an offensive line where, let's be real. I know Jawan Taylor's been around for a minute, but you've got younger guys on that offensive line with Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey. And, even at left tackle, you had basically a rookie in Suamataia and a second year guy in Wanye Morris. So I think you lose that stability and that just that the kind of presence that a Joe Tooney brings. That's something that I'm going to be interested to see how the Chiefs, are able to compensate for that.
Yeah, that's a good look. Tooney as a left tackle,
right,
versus Moore. Tooney was outmatched plenty last year.
Totally, yeah.
He was just the best option that they had. So,
yeah, he wasn't lighting the world on fire.
I don't know if I'm going to call it a wash. to go from Tooney, who was outmatched at times, to a never full-time starter. I think I could definitely see it being worse. I could definitely see it being better. Like, I don't know yet on that. Like, I'm not comfortable with the line. I just don't know in my point. Like, I don't know that they could have done any better than what they did. I think for me, that's the point for me. Like, it wasn't ideal, but they didn't have another choice. I guess they could have gone and traded for Laremy Tunzel, but they wouldn't have been able to afford it.
Yeah.
So they're kind of stuck, and trading Tooney is risky. They better hope Suamataia works at left guard, or Wanya Morse, whichever one. You better hope it works, because now if it doesn't, now you've invested draft capital there. It's cost you an all-pro left guard, like all of these things. Although I would still tell you that I think it was pretty much a Trey Smith or Joe Tooney situation. They just couldn't.
I think it was. I mean,
you can't tie up that kind of money in two guards.
I think it definitely was.
Especially when you don't run the football.
You know, you were able to move Joe Tooney, get some draft capital in return, a little bit of draft capital. That won't help them immediately, but help them in 2026 potentially. So you were able to get a little bit of a return. And then the other exchange is that you would think that they have the flexibility to sign Trey Smith long term, and time will tell if they're able to get that done. It, you know, at least the indications that I've seen as of now is that Smith is comfortable playing under that franchise tag for this season.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think he is. I think that was probably a part of going into that, don't you? It's not like it's a little different than when you have like Jamar Chase or somebody who. Like, Trey Smith's going to make a lot of money on the
tag. And I would be comfortable if I were him playing under that
tag, would,
because I'm going to get paid more this year than I would otherwise.
Right. And there's a good working relationship in that organization that you really are. Like, I would imagine all parties can be pretty honest there. And if you're the Chiefs, you can say, here's what we want to do. We want to put you on the tag. We have a couple other things we're going to do that might allow us the flexibility to do a long-term deal. Might not, we don't know that yet, but at the minimum, we'll tag you, you'll get a bunch of money, and then we'll see what we can do. And so I don't think every organization can do that, but I think the Chiefs can. And I think it's, you know, you're trying to make it all fit and make it all work, but they don't know. They even, and it may be a thing, Tommy, where it comes after the draft, right? Let's see what we can draft, let's see what we can do, and then we'll have a better idea of where we need to allocate, because right now they may be in a Trey Smith extension weighing, are we going to need to re-sign George Karlaftis? Well, what if we go get a great pass rushing? What if we get a good option there? And maybe the likelihood of that goes down, then you use that money on Trey Smith. So I think it's on the table all the way up until the season starts. I don't think it has to be done tomorrow. The only thing is, I don't know how they keep affording all these players if they don't do it.
Yeah. I think that really you've got to keep in mind and take into account and you mentioned it at the beginning of the segment, though, you know, from a defensive line perspective and pass rush, you mentioned George Karlaftis. Charles Omenihue, by all accounts, is not coming back, right? And so, you've lost him, more than likely. You get a little bit of strength in your depth with defensive line, bringing in a Jerry Tillery, like the veteran that he is. But then I also wonder, okay, Felix Anudike Uzomah has not probably panned out the way that I think.
There's no probably about it. He is not.
He's shown up in a couple of areas, but not consistently, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that there becomes that question about, okay, like, what is our pass rush going to potentially look like, not just this season, but in the future?
Do you
like,
remember
if
how
we
much-
lose George Karlaftis? FAU hasn't panned out. We don't have a Omenihue. Like,
yeah.
What does that outside edge look like?
What does it look like this year? Do you remember how much better they looked when Omenihue came in finally and got back from injury? Like, it made all the difference in the world. So I think while I will say, because they had this mountain of things to get done in the offseason, I think they've done a nice job. It doesn't mean I think that they're inherently better than they were a year ago. I think at this point they're not. I think their offense probably is, just because of health. But their defense is definitely not without Omenihue. So you better hope some rookies pan out. If rookies don't pan out for the Chiefs, they're going to have to outscore people next year. There's like, they're losing too much defensively. As nice as it was to get Nick Bolton back,
yeah,
they're losing too much defensively. They don't have a pass rush right now on paper that you like at all.
Well, hey, there was one guy that was out there as a free agent that I thought, okay, maybe the Chiefs could bring him back and he would be cheap and it would be a nice reunion. And that was Willie Gay Jr. He was a free agent after his 1 year deal with the Saints. He signed yesterday with the Dolphins on a 1 year deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was something I thought, okay, he could be affordable and he's familiar with Spags and all of that. And then that they didn't do that either. So, you know, I do think that the reinforcements with Tillery was
Tranquil. Tranquil's back.
Tranquil's under contract.
So you don't really.
So that's good. But at the same time, Tranquil, I don't think he's really good in spurts, but I don't think he's proven himself to be an every down type guy, right? I'm not sure. I don't know
how much better I think Willie Gay is than Drew Tranquil. That's a good question. I don't know. But that's not going to be the difference in their defense, I don't think. They got to replace Justin Reed. They've got to replace Charles Minnehue. They better hope Felix Anudike-Uzomah gives them something. But
he's got to take that next step forward, and it's been mediocre, I would say, for FAU in a Chiefs jersey.
Outside of FAU, the Chiefs have been really, really good drafting defensively, and they must do it again this year. I would tell you right now that I think they need at minimum two rookies to be big-time contributors defensively next year. And it might be more than two. It might be three. I think they have to have that if they're going to return to the level of defense we've seen the last 2 years. Now, maybe they just don't return to that level and they're better offensively and it's okay. Because I do think, even with the shakiness on the line, I think they'll be better offensively just through simply getting healthy. Having Rashee Rice last year would have helped the offensive line because it gives you one more quick strike passing attack option. So the defense being as good, I would say unlikely. The offense being as good, I would say is probably pretty likely to, if not better. I think they'll score more points next year than they did a year ago. We'll see now how they make it all fit financially. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know where they're finding this money. Max is our cap expert. Max, I'm going to give you a second to do this. Pull up their cap, Max, and give me what the latest numbers are, because it'll be updated now after the Tillery signing yesterday. Are they under, because they'll still have to sign their free agents too. So, Max, quick on your feet, Johnny on the spot. If you have it pulled up, where do they sit right now on the cap? I can't feel my fingers right.
Let's see. I got them. They allegedly have 17, almost 18 million in salary cap money. Goodell letting them skirt the cap again.
Okay. So if they have that, what of that is still off the books? I guess there's nothing off the books then.
Yeah. I don't think there would be at that point.
They freed up enough money to do the free agents.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's effective cap space.
So, okay. So if they have 17, then Trey Smith wouldn't have to happen. Could, but that maybe they do have the room then to do Trent McDuffie. Still, or George Karlaftis. I don't think they're going to do Karlaftis, Tommy. I think they're going to do McDuffie. They don't have a history of that. They don't have a history of that with their defensive backs. They've let, you know, whether it be Charvarius Ward, whether that be
Tyron Matthew,
and now Justin Reed.
Sneed go.
Sneed and
Justin Reed.
Reed.
They'll let them walk. They'll let those guys walk.
And Barry, too, to some degree. Remember, they kind of chose not to – right there at the end, didn't they? They kind of chose to go to Matthew. Am I remembering that sequence correctly? Barry came back, and then they – and then They didn't re-sign him, brought in Matthew. Yeah. Same thing with Matthew to Justin Reed, and then they've had two great corners in Sneed and Ward leave. So they don't have a history of investing in McDuffie, and maybe they won't just because of that, and maybe that pushes them more towards Karlaftis. But I got to tell you, I need to see more from Karlaftis before I go and make him that kind of paid pass rusher. I don't know if I'm on an island in that way. What is your thought on Karlaftis?
I like Karlaftis.
I do too, but do you picture him as an elite pass rusher?
I don't know if I would say elite at this point. I think he's a capable pass rusher.
Oh, for sure.
Capable.
Yeah.
I think I'd like to see another step forward from him this season to be a dominant pass rusher. And I think he's got the skill set. I think he's got the build and the athleticism to do that. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not he can. I think this season will be the big test. And that's why I don't disagree with you. I don't think they're going to do an extension for him anytime soon.
Yeah,
I think they want to see him play this year and see if he's worthy of that kind of extension.
I think McDuffie's more likely. Maybe it's neither. Maybe they sit on the money. I don't know. That's hard for me too, man. They got too much work to do to sit on it. I didn't realize they still had that much left. So thank you, Max, for that. That's good news. Tommy, there could still be a trade possible. Tommy, spend just a minute. Look, I'm with you. I don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers all the time either.
I don't want to talk about him at all.
But he's dominating the offseason again, and I don't even think he's trying to this time.
Oh, I think he's trying to.
He's trying to?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's taking his time. He doesn't really want to make a decision. Like, he wants people to come after him.
I don't know.
To beg him, plead with him. I'm tired of it. I don't want to talk about it at all.
I don't think that that's the real situation, though. I don't think that's what's happening at all. Like, I think he's got a couple of suitors, but I don't think he's in the same place he was when the Jet stuff was happening. I mean, there's got to be reality here, right? Like, he's not the same quarterback that we thought he might be then. I think there's reality in all this where teams are really just evaluating their options. And there are a lot of options. Like, at some point, Kirk Cousins is going to be an option for somebody, an expensive one, which is his problem. At some point, like, are the Saints rolling with Carr again, or do they want to go with Rattler? I think some of this is like, if you're the Steelers, and we just only sort of compared it to Russell Wilson yesterday, but if you're the Steelers, like, who's your best option? If I gave you the choice of Wilson, Rodgers, Carr, or Cousins.
Yeah, I'll take Russell Wilson, at least for right
over
now.
Over those guys. I would take Carr, but Rodgers is right there.
I would take Wilson, and it's because of what I talked about yesterday on the program. It's the familiarity with the program, with the organization, with Tomlin.
But if you didn't have his deep ball to Pickens, which I think is unreliable, he wasn't very good. Like, he wasn't bad. But he was
none of them. I said this yesterday. None of them are winning a championship for the Steelers. I don't care if you're picking Wilson, Rodgers, Cousins.
I understand
or
that.
None
I
of them
understand
are winning
that. But if you're the Steelers, you're thinking they are right. I'm saying, like, if you're the Steelers, I don't think they will either. But if I'm the Steelers, I have to think they will. And so if I have to think they will and I'm taking my pick, I mean, I'd love to know if Kirk Cousins was healthy, right? But you can't. So I don't think he's the option. Plus, he's too expensive. So then it kind of comes down to those other guys. But yeah, I might call the Saints and say, hey, I'll give you a 7th-round pick for Derek Carr. Derek Carr was really, really good before he got hurt last year. And he has never been terrible. His worst years as a pro are probably, and this is age related, I'm not saying he's better, but his worst years as a pro are still probably better than this aged version of Rodgers or Wilson. I think that's fair. And so when we talk about Rodgers, like, I don't think it's as much Rodgers holding organizations hostage as it is the market sort of holding things hostage. And so then it makes me wonder, okay, if you're the Steelers, do you just draft a quarterback?
I think you draft.
Do you reach on Jackson Dart?
I think you draft a quarterback. I know that there was speculation, like, they went out to dinner, the organization did, with Jalen Milroe, because of where they pick in the draft and where Milroe might fall to. I'd be okay with that. Like, I'd honestly be fine with them rolling with, like, Russell Wilson this season, drafted Jalen Milroe.
I think Justin Fields is better than Jalen Milroe.
Well, I mean, you're probably
although
right.
he although he signed right. free agent money.
You're probably right. But I think that's a low-risk proposition where you've got a veteran like Wilson that you can then pair up potentially with the Jalen Milroe with really not massive expectations on Milroe. If he develops, great. If he doesn't, he doesn't.
Yeah, I think they're more likely to draft one a little earlier. The Giants are another interesting one because the Giants will have to make a draft decision on one of the top quarterbacks, right? They'll be in a position to maybe take one where they are or move up to get one or whatever it is. So, like, those are the two teams now that we sit here and wonder what they're going to do at quarterback. And I guess that's my point with Rodgers. Like, they just have a lot of options. And I don't think it's Rodgers holding them hostage. I think they're trying to figure out what they think the best thing to do is.
Well, I don't think that Aaron Rodgers knows what he wants to do, or maybe he does, but he's kind of just letting everybody kind of twist in the wind until he's ready to, quote unquote, make his decision.
Well,
right.
But,
like, isn't that what Cam Hayward's been saying?
Right. Okay. So let's look at it this way then. Is it more Rodgers waiting to make his decision or teams waiting to make their decision?
If you trust what Cam Hayward is saying, he's saying that it's Rodgers not making up his mind.
He just said you either want to be a Steeler.
He was tired of waiting on it, and you either want to be a Steeler or you don't. Like, to me, that's not pointing it at the Steelers organization. That's pointing it at Aaron Rodgers.
Cam Hayward's not the GM. I take more of what he says based on, like, once you get there, whatever. I don't think he knows what the Steelers are doing at quarterback, because I don't think the Steelers know what they're doing at quarterback yet. They may love Jackson Dart, right? They may just be like, you know what? We're just going to play possum, and then we'll come in and we'll move up where we need to move up, and we'll go take Jackson Dart. Or what if the Saints, which I've seen, I don't know if it was in Mel Kiper's or somebody's, they had the Saints taking Jackson Dart. Okay, well, if the Saints take Jackson Dart, now they have Dart and Spencer Rattler. Well, now I'm for sure going to go trade for Derek Carr. So I think the situation is holding the market hostage. And the Giants are a little less so, but the Giants, if you're the Giants ownership, and I know Dable and those guys are going to want to save their job, they'd probably rather have Rodgers. But at some point, like, if you evaluate the quarterback and you're like, you can't let him do that. You got to say, no. Like, I know you guys are on the hot seat, whatever, but, like, we're taking the young quarterback. Which, and again, I think Shedeur Sanders is a good quarterback. I don't know about Cam Ward. I feel the same way about Cam Ward as I felt about C.J. Stroud for sure. Probably a little less Justin Fields. I had a decent idea on Fields, what I thought he might be able to do or not be able to do. Stroud, it was a total unknown to me. Drake May, feel that way about. I feel the same way about Cam Ward that I did about Drake May. Like, I just don't know.
Yeah, I think the only thing about Cam Ward that, you know, is kind of up in the air is he's played in college for so long with so many different programs that I don't know how that translates to the NFL. Like, if you've got a guy that has been with the program for even 2 or 3 years, much less 4, I feel like you get kind of an idea on his game. I mean, like, I think everybody can tell you who Shedeur Sanders is. I think everybody can tell you, you know, like, who Quinn Ewers is. I think everybody can tell you who Jalen Milroe even is. I'm not sure that you can really know for sure who Cam Ward is because he's bounced around so much.
So he's an unknown to me. Yeah. I'm not saying I don't think he's going to be good. He might be great, but he fits more of that profile. Shedeur Sanders, I think, is going to be good, if not great. I think his floor is very high. And so if you're the Giants, like, and you're telling me I could take any one of those three guys or Aaron Rodgers, like, I'm taking the young guy at this point. The Giants aren't going to win a Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers could help him be good. He could help him be relevant. He could probably help save a job, but he's not helping them do anything of significance next year. He's not helping any team do anything of significance next year unless the 49ers becomes an option. The Vikings have already answered that question. That was the other spot. And I would still contend that the Steelers are good enough elsewhere on the roster to contend. But I don't know that they want Rodgers, because I think they may be thinking about a quarterback in the draft.
I don't know. Mike Tomlin, I think, is a very pragmatic coach. I think he's proven that over the years. And I think he has a very low tolerance for shenanigans.
Yeah.
I think he's proven that over the years. And so I've never thought, even from a roster perspective, sure, like, it makes sense. But from a fit perspective with the kind of style and the attitude and all of that, I've never felt like a Mike Tomlin, Aaron Rodgers marriage would be fruitful. Let me just say that. I never thought that it would be fruitful.
I don't disagree with it. I just don't think Tomlin's going to put up with it. So Rodgers can try to be there.
Now, the only fly in the ointment here is that how desperate is Mike Tomlin getting? Because he was on the hot seat. He's been on the hot seat, right? He doesn't strike me as a desperate kind of guy.
He's in the fans' hot seat. He's not in the real hot seat. If Mike Tomlin was fired, he would be hired immediately. You'd be looking at an Andy Reid situation again. I mean, honestly, like, if they chose to make that decision in Pittsburgh, which would be the most insane decision that they could make, so stupid. If they, and I know Steeler fans, because when I get on the national network and we talk about the Steelers, it's not just a few Steeler fans that want him gone. It's a lot of Steelers. And I'm like, guys, like, you're nuts, right? Go ask the Eagles how much they regret it. And they won 2 Super Bowls since getting rid of Andy Reid. I get it. But, like, you if he was fired, he would be hired the next day. That not, I mean, not in a literal sense, but you know what I'm saying. And he
there were teams that were interested in trading
and
for him.
That, do you know why?
Because
they think he might be available.
Totally.
And they're like, oh yeah, we'll take him. We'll take him. Let us take Mike. But I think the reality is he's not in the hot seat. The Steelers don't fire their coaches.
Yeah.
They may be the model organization in football. I mean, honestly, over the entire history, right? You know, there are different in and out, but like as far as consistency, they're as consistent as it gets. I don't think Rodgers would be disruptive there because I don't think Mike Tomlin would let him be disruptive. So I don't think it matters.
Well, that's why I think I'm not sure Aaron Rodgers would want to go there because I don't think that he would want that accountability because every time he's had accountability, it's turned into a debacle. And I don't think that he would want to put himself in a position where he's not ultimately in charge and pulling the strings. And I agree with you. Mike Tomlin doesn't put up with that sort of thing. So I think preemptively Aaron Rodgers would probably say, you know what? I'm not sure that's the best bet for me because I've got to be the smartest one in the room. I've got to be the top dog. And Mike Tomlin is not going to let me do that. That's not the right place for me to go.
Yeah.
It's not unlike, honestly, Russell Wilson before he was humbled and Sean Payton in Denver. Like it's not dissimilar to that situation. Like Russell Wilson wanted to kind of be like the guy to call the shots and Sean Payton was like, absolutely not. We're not doing this. And it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work. It's so hard too, because when reputations follow these guys, they can never shake them.
But I think Russell Wilson has, like, because I think he humbled himself in Denver and I think he found a good fit with Tomlin in Pittsburgh. And I think he's been able to say like, look, my role is to not be the top dog. Like I'm going to be here. I'm going to play quarterback and I'm going to move forward. But Aaron Rodgers has never shown that he can do that.
Sean Payton has a big ego. And I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm not sure. I think Mike Tomlin has a big ego. He has a big personality. That's a decent, I like it. I like it. Speaking of the Broncos, I heard somebody, I mean, it's going to be Rich Eisen again. Like, is this the year they challenge the Chiefs getting challenged in the West?
I think that if they're going to, it would be the Broncos. I think the Broncos would be the team to challenge them.
I still think it'd be the Chargers just because I believe in their coach so much. But I don't think either of them are, just for the record. All right, we'll come back. I think TJ Cleland's going to be here. We'll talk some of our bets. We'll get you primed up for the tournament games today. Don't go away. Sports Daily, live from NASCAR Park at Interest Bank Arena.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. We are still live with you. Hour number four.
Let's go.
Underway. Here we go. Thank you, Zeb. We got TJ Cleland with us now for this final hour. TJ's been doing some news hits over with our 12 News crew. We're set up. We got a set over on the other side, and then we've got a 12 News crew over here. So as you're making your way down here, say hi. We'll have a lot of people all over the place. Tommy will be here all day. There's going to be a live DJ, I think, probably once we leave the air. I imagine Zeb will get things going. I'm telling you guys, like, if you were here in 2018, this is an even better setup. Maybe more organized is the way to go, because I think we described it earlier as like a gorilla, just like that first time. It was just like everyone was just like, it's a party in the street. Yeah. Let's go. Now you've got, I mean, we've got, I can see five food trucks, three booze trucks. There's beer everywhere. There's all the great restaurants down here. Again, thank you to Homegrown for the coffee and Pop-Tarts earlier.
You guys got Pop-Tarts?
Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
There's and then more restaurants and stuff on the other. I have not been over. I'm not, trying to discount any of the great businesses and parties that are on the other side. I just haven't been over there yet.
They're there.
But it's such a cool setup right now. And this part of it where we are didn't exist in 2018. So now we're all, and then we connect right into Old Town. So all of those people in from out of town, well, we hope to put on a great show for you here in Wichita as we get ready for basketball. Up first today, fellas, Creighton and Louisville.
Good one.
So the games tip off on KWCH, Creighton and Louisville is one of the better games in the first half. I was talking to my wife last night, was trying to fill out her bracket, and she was like, oh, man, Louisville, they're always good, but I like Creighton. Which one are you picking? I'm like, coin flip. That's one of the tougher games of the first round. I took Louisville. I believe that they're in my first window bets. I'm laying the three with Louisville, but they're too close to home, I think. And they're very, very talented.
Yeah. Can we talk about for a second the work that Pat Kelsey has done, and just being able to kind of turn that program around? I mean, it was down in the dumps, and just what he's been able to do. It's been remarkable to get them back into the tournament.
I can't believe what I want to talk about is the 8-9 matchup between these two. Louisville is the number 10 team in the country in the AP poll, and they're an 8 seed. Creighton just finished second in the Big East, which may be the fourth best conference in America, and they're a 9 seed. So this is a matchup that you'd probably see in a Sweet 16 in a normal seeded field, but there's so many weird ones, and the SEC is so good that you have teams all over the place.
We think they're so good.
Yeah, we'll see. But Louisville as an 8, as a number 10 team in the country, that's what I'm kind of just solely basing Louisville off of, is the fact that not that many AP voters can be that wrong about this team. So I'm going to take them pretty far.
Aren't they playing it in Lexington?
Yes.
So, that's the thing, too. I don't want to hear anybody, Louisville fans, complaining that they're an 8. Yeah. Like, you get to play in Lexington.
Right. They got the best draw they could have gotten.
They did.
Yeah, and that happens all the time in the tournament, right? It's like, oh, we got underseeded and overseeded, and I'm like, that's not...
I'd be complaining if I was Creighton, not Louisville.
Maybe, but, I'll never forget this. It was in Omaha, the first tournament I covered here, when Wichita State and Kansas played. Kansas had a gripe that year because Wichita State was way better than their seed. And it wasn't a punishment to Wichita State. It was a punishment to Kansas.
Yeah.
And the year before that, the Shockers were punished by having to play Kentucky as an 8 seed. If anybody is getting screwed because of Louisville and Creighton, it's Auburn. Like, they're the ones that should be complaining, not Louisville or Creighton.
Yeah.
It's Auburn.
And I like Auburn a lot, and I think that Bruce Pearl's done a really good job. They haven't performed as of late. I mean, they've stumbled a couple times, and I think that – and then you combine that with the draw. That makes it tough, I think, for them to make a deep run. I think, honestly, in my mind, not taking into account Cooper Flagg's injury and all of that for Duke, I think Auburn's the most vulnerable one seed out of the entire four.
I agree. I have Duke going down pretty early in my bracket. I had Auburn making a run, but I agree. I mean, I think if they got somebody brought it up the other day, you have to play Louisville in Lexington, as Auburn is a team that's lost 3 of the last 4, I believe. So they are a juggernaut, though. Like, we've seen how bad they've beaten teams. And if they get hot, I mean, they can beat anybody in the country. It's the reason they're a one seed, obviously. I'm preaching to the choir here. I don't know. I think I'd be pretty gypped if I was Auburn.
I think Auburn has the best draw of the ones. If they can get through that round of 32 landmine.
Yeah.
I actually like, and I have them in the Final Four because I like their draw. Everyone talked about the draw, but outside of that random, like, Louisville, which Creighton could totally beat Louisville, but outside of that Louisville, like, after that, Iowa State's got a key player out. Michigan State is good but flawed a little bit, I think, offensively. I think Auburn has a fine. I didn't want to put Auburn in my Final Four.
Hey, let's not overlook the Sweet 16 matchup we could get between Auburn and the 12 seed UC San Diego.
It's going to happen.
Good. I really want to pick San Diego over.
Is there anybody that's not taking them? Are they still favored? I think
it's 2-point line.
Yeah, it's swung. They opened as a favorite. I'm almost certain.
I'm pretty sure they
swung back to Michigan.
There's a couple 12s that are favored. Colorado State's still favored over Memphis.
I really like Colorado State, and I mentioned that a couple hours ago. I really like them. I think that they will beat Memphis in this game, because if you can find any way to even get PJ Haggerty off of his game, that's all Memphis has.
It hurt. They don't have Tyrese Hunter, it looks like. He still have a bit of boot on in the AAC championship game, I believe. So I picked Memphis. I think that's just some AAC bias coming out, that I want to see the American Conference do so well.
Me too.
But if Haggerty scores 42 points like he did against the Shockers, they're going to beat everybody in the country.
There are very many teams in the country that are so prone to letting somebody score 42 points.
Yeah.
High Point in Purdue. Anybody buying High Point?
I'm all over High Point. You know they got a former national champion, Bobby Pettiford, coming off the bench. Former Jayhawk.
I always wondered what happened to Bobby Pettiford. I had no idea he was at High Point.
East Carolina, watching him play the Shockers. Yeah. And he comes off the bench for High Point. He's their sixth man. He's averaging like 10 points a game.
Yeah.
They have like multiple guys that have made deep runs in the tournament that dropped down to go play for High Point this year. So a lot of tournament experience. They're not going to be scared of playing Purdue. You talk about all these 13 seeds and stuff that see the bright lights and that first media timeout. They get shell-shocked those first 4 minutes. High Point's not going to get shell-shocked. Purdue better come out firing.
Yeah, High Point is an interesting one. I got Purdue, but that's the other one. Then you got two games that Montana. Montana's good. Wisconsin, though, I've said this about Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin's a team, and I know Tommy has BYU over them. I also have BYU over them.
I also have BYU.
But I will tell you that I think Wisconsin could be that team that gets in the Final Four that we're not talking enough about.
Even just the casual picking of your brackets when you click on the notable wins and losses for Wisconsin, it's like they beat that team by 30. They beat that team by 30. They scored 99 points in that game.
Yeah.
Like they're the
best offense they've ever had. But it's not the same coach they've always had. But I mean, Wisconsin's traditionally a really good tournament team.
And I don't know if there's another team that is, you know, in the top few seats that is not talked about like Wisconsin has not been talked about this year.
I'm telling
you. Like just kind of come out of nowhere, really. And, you know, if you're outside of Big Ten country, nobody is paying attention to Wisconsin.
No. I wanted Texas Tech to be in a region with Auburn so I could put them in the Final Four. And I wanted Wisconsin to be in a region somewhere else. You know, like, but their draw, it's hard. It's hard. It's going to be hard for Duke. It's going to be hard for BYU. It's going to be hard for Wisconsin. Thing. It's going to be hard for Alabama because they're all kind of the same.
I mean, I picked Duke losing in the round of 32 to Baylor. I think that, you know, it depends on what you're going to get from Cooper Flagg. Obviously, yeah. That's the huge
Do we
story.
Have a definitive answer? I mean, is Flagg
yeah,
good
he's
to go?
Play.
He's good to go.
He's going to play, but that's the question. Yeah. How much can he play? Is
how
he going to be
do
the,
they need
is
him
he be the Wooden Award winner with a bum ankle coming off that injury? And I just think that that's a bad matchup for Duke for a team that in that ACC schedule, you talk about the amount of quad ones that they played. It's not that many. And then you get matched up with a Baylor team that just came out of a grind in the Big 12 and VJ Edgecombe. That just screams like a tournament hero type of story for that kid.
One more here, and it's the game here at Intrust Bank Arena. The first one here is the last one of the first window. Houston hosting SIU Edwardsville. We're not going to talk about it like SIU Edwardsville might win.
But are they going to cover?
Can Houston cover 28.5?
That's a lot of point. I just did my news hit over there talking about the pressure of a one seed not wanting to be the team that falls to the 16 seed. Then I said, let me caveat this with Houston is 30-point favorites. I don't think anything crazy is going to happen here, but that's the thing to watch. Can Miles Thompson and Ring Malith and all of the Wichita guys and Barton Community College guys, can they find a way to cover that number?
I'm taking 28.5. I'm taking 28.
You're going to lay the 28.5? I'm not either.
No way.
I'm not. And it's not because I doubt Houston.
Houston's my champion.
Yeah, I don't doubt them at all. I mean, that's a huge.
No,
number.
I'm taking the points.
Oh, you're taking the points. Okay.
I'm
taking the points. Yeah. Yes. That's the first game here. All right, we'll take a break here. We'll come back and we'll hit that next window of games. We'll kind of take them set by set here in this hour. Of course, KU is going to be a part of that in just a little bit too. Let's see. Let's give away some HTO real quick. If you want to win some free iced tea, you can do that right now by texting the keyword tea to 20357. That'll get you free iced tea, more than 26 flavors to choose from, east or west Wichita or down in Derby. That's where those are good for. So enter that contest. You can also enter the 35x70 golf apparel contest, $120 gift card there. That's golf to 20357. That's the number, both contests, tea or golf, whichever one you want. You can get them through us at Sports Daily. When we come back, the second part of the first session at all four regional sites for the Thursday. We are live from Nafsker Park here, just to the north of Intrust Bank Arena. This is a new area for the tournament, and it looks fantastic. We got some music going. We got people showing up. The games are going. We're just getting cooking here. We'll be right back. Don't go away. More Sports Daily right after this.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back out here to NASCAR Park, everybody. We are coming to you live here. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, TJ Cleland. Having some fun. Music's going. Hey, the sun came out. Wouldn't you know it? So do the people here at NASCAR Park. This is awesome. We hope you'll come down and party hard today. Enjoy the basketball. We are talking about the basketball. We made it through the first session. Real quick, guy Dan the Man Page, a former colleague, sent a message and said, back in 94, Wichita had first and second round games at the Kansas Coliseum, but coming in that year, Juwan Howard, Jalen Rose, Tim Hardaway, Marcus Camby, Coach Cal, Joe Smith, Glenn Robinson were all here.
How about that?
Are you saying that because we got a big blue shirt in front of us right here?
No, it's just good timing. just good timing there on that. All right, fellas, we're making our way through the games here and just kind of looking at them, betting perspectives. We all kind of like taking the points today with SIU Edwardsville, even though Houston is all three of our champions. It's kind of hard to believe. We start the second half of the second half of the first half of the day.
A lot of basketball.
Alabama State and Auburn. 32 points. I watched Alabama. That was Alabama
awesome.
State in the play-in the other night, wasn't
awesome
it?
Awesome game.
I'm not laying 32 for anybody.
Yeah,
I'll take
no,
the points
again. And I think Auburn is not vulnerable, but I at least in this game, but I do think that they're going to, you know, struggle to cover that number for sure. I think Alabama State at least showed in that, you know, very first play-in game that they can, you know, get some points up on the board.
I mean, are you going to beat somebody, TJ, 90 to 58?
Right.
That's what I'm saying. And this first round, especially for these one seeds, you know, you got a hungry 8 or 9 coming up next. I mean, I can't imagine, like, Kelvin Sampson playing his guys the whole time trying to, you know, run up the score or anything like that when all you got to do is just survive in advance. So I'm not betting on any of these. I want to know, are you guys got juice on every game today? Are you going 128
deep? No, I don't.
The only one of that first session that I actually bet was Louisville. Louisville is the only money I have right now out of that first window.
Have you guys seen? I know on DraftKings they do it. You can parlay your bracket and you can go like 10 different teams to make the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I did that one.
Oh my gosh. The odds you can get on that are crazy. That's my favorite thing I'm going to do all week.
Yeah, that one is pretty wild. So McNeese and Clemson, you know, McNeese has probably got one of the worst draws, I think. For being a really good team and having a really good year, I think Clemson's tough. Clemson's a place I like Clemson. Clemson was another team to take on a run based on history of how good a team is offensively and how good a team is defensively at the same time. Clemson fits that profile.
Yeah, you know, on top of that, McNeese State, I mean, they're you know, every win, that's one game closer to Will Wade taking over.
You never know how that's going to go, though.
Right? You know, so like that announcement was, or not really announcement, but the report was yesterday that Will Wade is taking the job at NC State. So, you know, those players and Will Wade, you know, playing for basically him, you know, to continue on another day longer at that school.
I loved his response to that, by the way. He was just like, I'm honest with them and they're honest with me. Yeah. Like, yeah, I told them. Like, so what? Like, they can talk to me about what they're going to do too. And I appreciate that.
This one feels like, I know last year everybody jokes about what's the 2025 going to be of the 2024 McNeese Cowboys, because everybody in the country was on McNeese last year and they didn't get it done. And I think just by default, you see McNeese again, and a lot of people are going to pick McNeese in the upset in this one. But like you said, it's a bad draw. Clemson, I mean, their team, they beat Duke. Like, you can look at their ACC schedule of the teams that they beat. They're a really good 5-seed.
I like Clemson a lot. And, you know, I think Brad Brunell has put together probably his most talented squad, at least one of his top 2 or 3 talented squads at Clemson. And you know, I think that they are not getting a lot of the respect that they probably deserve. They could absolutely make a little bit of a run.
All right, VCU, BYU. I know who we're all taking in this one. BYU got another tough draw, though. That's the problem. So here's why I couldn't, Tommy, take BYU as far as you had them. As much as I went into the tournament, and I was like, BYU might be the team I take to the Final Four. Just because of the way they shoot, just because of how old they are. The problem with it for me was who they have to play in the first round. It could bust your bracket.
Totally. I mean, yeah, like that's the game out of all of them today that I'm paying the closest attention to, because I do have BYU in my Final Four. And but I agree with you. It's a terrible game in the first game for them in the first round. But if they can get through VCU, I've got them making it all the way to the Final Four.
Yeah, because they do the same things that the other teams against them do. But right. VCU's always good. BYU is such a wild, and I'm betting BYU today. They're actually a team I have money on.
We'll do this.
-2.5 right now. BYU's dangerous in every game they play, though, because they're so reliant on shooting.
I agree.
And a neutral court game, I mean, you just never know.
This is one that whenever Brandon and I were watching the selection shows, you saw VCU get that draw and have them play in VCU, and we don't know anything about VCU. We're not following that conference.
No, but you know what they always are.
Then you look at VCU and you're like, oh, that's going to be a good one. That's going to be a good one.
Well, and Ryan Odom has put together a really stellar defensive team, and that's the kryptonite, or could be at least,
right,
to what BYU wants to do.
Now, there's a flip side to that. Can they, if BYU does shoot well,
right,
can VCU keep up with that?
Right.
The thing about BYU is they don't just have a couple of guys that shoot well. They've got like seven. So they all shoot well.
Yeah.
So they're hard to guard. If they shoot well, they're hard to beat. They're hard to guard. And that's why we see them this year win a bunch of crazy games and then lose badly, though, on the flip side of it.
That Iowa State game in the Big 12 tournament, watching that, I remember I texted our buddy Joe Baker, and I was like, I'm taking BYU to my Final Four. And then I saw them go down by like 20 points to Iowa State. I'm like, never mind. And then the fact that they won that game, I'm like, they might go to the national championship.
Yeah, yeah.
They're a good enough team that they could go on one of those stupid runs like that.
It's just going to be a question of today. Like, what is today's game going to be like? If they can get through it, I've got them making a run.
And then the other game here in that session is Georgia and Gonzaga. I got to be honest, I don't know anything about the Bulldogs of Georgia.
Yeah.
Gonzaga.
How about the draw? We got Cougars and Cougars and Bulldogs and Bulldogs.
I love it.
Gonzaga is being – who is the most likely eight to make a run? Louisville, Gonzaga, or UConn?
Louisville.
Probably Louisville. Close second would be UConn.
Yeah.
I think Gonzaga out of those three is probably last.
This feels like a very KU-esque year about Gonzaga as well. I'm sure up in the Northwest they're saying the same things about Mark Few that they're saying about Bill Self, and run the same storylines about their worst seed in X amount of years. I don't know what the stat is. But,
washed up, not going to make it, can't compete,
This is their 27th straight tournament. I think it's third current longest streak currently in basketball. So they do something right. Georgia's a team that's kind of in and out type of thing. They're kind of in probably because they're in the SEC. They're in another conference with the resume they had, they probably wouldn't be in. I don't know if that's a hot take to say that or not, but I'm probably going to take Gonzaga in this one. But again, this is probably one of the worst Gonzaga teams that we've watched in a while.
I'm a little worried about Houston having to play Gonzaga, I would be honest.
I agree. Just playing against Mark Few, whoever's
know,
on the court.
I know,
Few,
like that.
But man, Mark Few versus Kelvin Sampson is going to be so freaking cool.
It's going to be good. It's going to be, and I think Houston's way better than Gonzaga, but still makes you nervous. It's like Kansas. It's just like playing Kansas as a seven. You're just like, okay, I get it. I watched them all year. I know about that. But then I also know they're the preseason number one with an unstoppable offensive weapon in Hunter Dickinson. So have fun with that, and that's kind of how I feel about Gonzaga. That's the other one. Looking around here, we got the SIU Edwardsville contingent coming down here to Nasker Park, showing up big. I can't wait to see, because they're up first, right? Yeah, they play the
They play Houston. Yeah.
So we'll have all of that. We're gonna have all these visiting fan bases, and then I've got a bunch of buddies I know playing like hooky for the second half of their day. How many people are taking off work just to come down here and party all dang day on a Thursday?
Can you imagine?
This is the best day of the year.
Think about how when we got here and we came on the air at 7 o'clock. I mean, obviously it was freezing cold. And the sun hadn't come up yet. We were the first ones down here.
Yeah.
It was like deserted and empty. And like now look at it, 3 hours later, it's incredible.
I got to ask you guys this. Okay. I was bringing this up on 12 News this morning between, Super Bowl Sunday, like the CFP, the World Series, like is there a sporting day better than the first day of the round of 64?
No. Not in my opinion.
You get basketball from 11 to midnight.
Yeah, I don't think so. The NFL opening Sunday is pretty amazing, but I'll say no. I'll say this is better.
I've got a dark horse for me, and that's the final round of the Masters.
Yeah, yeah. Let's
send Nathan Masters up there.
Not even close.
Come on.
I said that up there.
It's fine. It's fine.
It's
but
fantastic.
It's not.
The final six holes are fantastic.
When was the last time it was fantastic when Tiger Woods was involved?
Last year?
I don't even know who won last year.
Scotty Scheffler won.
Oh, yeah, that's
any
right.
golf tournament, just say Scotty Scheffler.
Say Scotty Scheffler. Yeah. That's all you got to know.
Yeah, it's fine. I don't dislike it, but it's not this.
I agree.
This is the only thing to me that comes even close is NFL opening Sunday.
Yeah.
Like that's the only one. Everything else, like you could put World Series, as much as I'm a baseball guy, all of it, nothing is better than the Thursday.
I was talking to somebody yesterday that's covering the games, and they're like, man, like this is going to be weird not sitting at home on a couch watching a quad box because we're covering the games. And I was like, listen, I've covered March Madness the last 2 years, and like, even I was in Greensboro, North Carolina when Fairleigh Dickinson beat Purdue. I was watching the game before K-State played, or I don't know who K-State played, Montana State's who it was.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there, and the crowd was cheering for Fairleigh Dickinson because they were all watching it on their phones.
Yeah.
And they were showing it on the big screen. And, like, you don't even have to be watching the game that you're watching. Just being around basketball people is the best part of this day.
And it's around here, too. And that's what I get, like, we are from Josh Howell, Visit Wichita at the very top of the show. The tickets are, like, close to sold out.
That Mizzou Drake game will be so close to sold out because of everybody coming across state lines. Yeah.
Well, I didn't expect that as much for that, but what that doesn't even consider all the people that are coming down here that never even had a plan to go to a game.
Right, totally. And you brought up a really good point during the break when you said that, you know, hey, if like Texas Tech can win today,
oh, dude, they're coming.
Then Lubbock is going to come up here for Saturday. Like, you've got a weekend. Or like if Mizzou wins, can you imagine the Mizzou contingent driving in on a Saturday? Like, they may not necessarily be here today, the entire fan base. A lot of them will be, but there'll be even more people from those fan bases coming in for a game on Saturday.
So I think today's going to be really good. I think Saturday will be better.
If we got Mizzou, Texas Tech on Saturday night, is Patrick Mahomes coming?
He'll come. He's coming Saturday. He's going to come. He goes to all their games. He's like 20 minutes away. He's going to come to all their games.
Is he going to be here? Do you think he's going to be here today?
I don't
today's
know.
Game?
For a 9:30 p.m. tip-off, I'd imagine that's past the kids' bedtime.
He's a dad of three. I doubt today, but I'll bet you he comes.
Saturday's game, if he makes it.
I'll bet you he comes.
Even if it's Drake, I think that's even a better storyline.
They're all great storylines. I don't know who I want. Like, it's really hard for me because the Drake storyline, you can talk about this because you heard from Ben McCollum yesterday, and we were going to save this for Brandon, but he can't get here. They're as good a story as there is.
That's awesome.
I mean, he's a Division II guy. I'm a Division II guy. You're a Division II guy. Like, to see them have that success that immediately is so perfect. And then you've got the Mizzou angle. And I know KU fans don't want to see Mizzou do anything, but Caleb Grill's there.
Yeah.
And, like, I want both of those teams to win. I hate it.
It's going
to
be weird. That's what I was bringing up. Last year, I was at KU Samford, and it was in Salt Lake City, so there's no locals. But everybody in that arena was cheering for Samford because everybody just wants that to happen. I expected when I saw Drake was coming here, it's going to be all Drake. But then Mizzou, I mean, it's going to be a 50-50 crowd, I bet, whenever it happened. I mean, I bet there's going to be 50% Mizzou fans in there and then 50% people that just want an 11 seed to advance.
Right.
Even though
is Drake favored? I think Drake's
I think it's swung back. But anyways, there's going to be that angle. Everybody wants the 11 seed to win. But then for the entire contingency across the country that have any Division II ties to see Bennett Sturts go in there and beat Mizzou and beat these beat Mark Mitchell, these five-star blue chip guys. It's just a story. They were practicing at Newman University yesterday. I tweeted out a stupid stat just messing around about for anybody looking for an 11 seed. Ben McCollum has never lost a game in the city of Wichita. He's beat Newman twice.
Yeah.
So now that Darian DeVries is off the table going to Indiana, is there going to be a more sought-after coach in America?
I can't,
Ben McCollum this offseason? Like, because I'm not sure that there will be a more sought-after coach.
I think we're a year early on it. I think it's a year early.
The thing is as well, to think about the twofold of that is Ben McCollum was turning down offers to stay at Northwest Missouri to be a lead assistant at, like, Power 5. He turned down Texas Tech.
Yeah.
And so the fact of, like, if you're going to come get Ben McCollum as a head coach from Drake, where he's got this building and the Missouri Valley under his back, and we know what the Missouri Valley can do for you if you can run that conference, you'll jump for a bigger job, but you're going to have to – I don't think he's going to jump for West Virginia.
Like, well, yeah, I would if I – but the problem I think right now, and I'm a believer, obviously, in coaches like him, like, you still have to see if he can recruit. You still have to see if he can handle the port, because right now he just kind of brought his guys with him. And so – I think if you're a big time program and you're going to make that kind of hire, it's a pretty big leap of faith. He's never even been an assistant recruiting at that level here. So I think it's probably 1 year early for that, but it's not going to take long, right? It's going to be, I mean, DeVries went through the same thing, right? It took him just a second. I'd hire.
Are we throwing the smoke screen here to hopefully keep him a Drake long enough to whenever Bill Self retires, we can get that pipeline?
Man, I don't. I like McCollum a lot.
I don't know if KU fans might ride if they hired a coach from Drake.
Oh no, they wouldn't if he was still winning. But again, it would be the same thing. Like, you got to see if somebody can recruit at this level. I mean, if you're going to go to KU, you better be able to recruit better than everybody else.
Yeah,
and so that's a big challenge, and it's, I don't know. I love the story so much. And then I love the Caleb Grill story from Mizzou. I mean, Caleb Grill is back. He is back, not just like physically back in his home area. Like, he's back as a basketball player and
best
as a person. And like, it's, he is looking like the flashes we saw of his early college career. And it's just been so great to see. Hate that somebody has to lose that game today.
This is his sixth year of college basketball, I believe. I think we're the same age, actually. And the fact that, you know, he's just kind of fallen into a, you know, seventh or eighth guy off the bench at Iowa State. You know, he had the year at UNLV where he was pretty good. But just to go to the SEC, and he was kind of another bench guy last year, then to turn into a guy that got multiple, like, SEC Player of the Weeks. I mean, in that conference especially, I mean, that's an awesome story. And then to just have it come home. I mean, yesterday, watching the amount of Maze people that were there, and just for him in the locker rooms, I mean, he's got microphones in his face every second. He's going to be the star of everything that happens here all week long.
And him having his best season as a collegiate athlete and getting to come back here that same year, I mean, you can't script that sort of thing. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's a great story. All right, let's hit these real quick. We're going to save Kansas, talk about them the next segment. Yale, any y'all biting on the Yale upset love?
It's not the greatest 13 seed that we got. No. But I also don't love Texas A&M.
Yeah,
Yale's, I don't love you.
Yale's a pretty good one. That's actually a pretty tight line. I have Utah State beating UCLA. That's one of my upsets there. We all have UC San Diego. St. John's 18.5 in Omaha. That's a pretty small line.
That is a pretty small line. I know all about Omaha Mavericks this year. We got a new producer at work, Nathan Farrell.
Yeah.
Loves him some Omaha Mavericks. So every day he'll come up and talk about the Summit League with me. And he could not get enough whenever UMKC beat Wichita State.
And then Tech, -14.5. I actually like that line for Tech.
Yeah.
-14.5, I believe that's one of the lines. I mean, I know they're missing a play. They've been missing some key guys for a month now. They're fine. They'll be all right. We'll hit Kansas in a minute. We got just a couple of minutes. Any other bets that you guys actually made? I'll take Drake in the points.
Yeah, I actually like Drake on the money line. I think that they move on.
I'm taking them.
I almost took him on the money line, but then I just decided to take the points instead. UC San Diego, I picked them. I don't know that I bet them, though.
The only thing that I'm going to do all day long with my betting accounts is I'm just going to – this is the best part about this day is that I'm probably not going to do a single straight bet. I'm just going to do like 10 different parlays.
No, why?
Just sprinkle all the little favorites.
Every bet I'm talking about is in a parlay.
I've got like six currently, and I don't think I have more than a dollar on each of them, and they're all going to pay out more than about $1,000.
Right, I will probably, though, do a same game parlay on Kansas. And we'll talk about that next. So, because I do want to get – you want to get a little different kind of action on that game.
I actually really like Michigan in this game today because they're coming off of a Big Ten tournament win. I think Dusty May's got them playing at the right time.
Hated that matchup for UC San Diego. As much as I love UC,
they're probably the best 12 we've seen in a long. Like they had a legit resume, not the resume because they play in the Big West and they don't have any big wins. But I mean, they're the best 12 seed maybe of all time. Like when you look at the amount of
the 12,
the KenPom analytics, everything. Like they've been a top 40 KenPom team all year, basically.
Yep.
And that's unheard of in the Big West.
They're like early year Gonzaga, honestly, is what they remind me of. Playing in a bad league. TJ, you've been over on the other side doing TV hits. It's been a minute. It's filling up over here on this side. We got the mayor doing a thing here. There's all kinds of games and parties and everything set up on this side.
That was very descriptive. The mayor's doing a thing.
I don't know what it is.
It's her media briefing.
Okay.
Mayor's watch. Watch tonight on 12 News.
You can tell. We're kind of locked in over here with our thing. But
do you think the mayor filled out a bracket?
Yeah,
but I hope that's part of the briefing, like who her national champion.
Lily's a shocker, man. I'm not sure she'd pick anybody besides Wichita State. But they didn't make it in. They got bummed. Let's talk about Kansas. They're the only team that did make it in. It's the last game we haven't talked about yet, specifically. Arkansas. Arkansas looks healthy, I think. So what does that mean for Kansas? Guys, if they don't lock it up defensively, they're going to be toast. And I don't know why that's been so inconsistent lately, because they played a large stretch of the season where it wasn't a problem. And I know it's 3-point shooting, but it's not all 3-point shooting. Like they have got to stop with that and be a great defensive team.
Yeah, I think that one of the other keys that really hasn't been talked about a whole lot leading into this game is the fact that Arkansas does not defend the post well at all.
No, and they haven't this season.
They haven't this season at all. And so there's a big opportunity for both Hunter Dickinson and Pori Badunga to really be able to feast down low.
Or even maybe KJ Adams.
Maybe KJ Adams as well, because Arkansas doesn't defend the post well. Now, on the flip side, we all know KU doesn't defend the three well at all.
Right.
And so they've got to make sure that, you know, they lock down there too. But that could be an opportunity for the Jayhawks.
I think that this is a thing that we could talk about all the different angles that we want, and it's not going to be an Arkansas thing. It's going to be a Kansas thing, because like we said, they're the number preseason number
I
one.
I agree with that.
They've beaten some of the best teams. They beat Texas Tech, or they beat, Arizona, excuse me. They almost beat Texas Tech. They almost beat Houston twice. They're a team
they
that
did beat Duke. They did beat Michigan.
Exactly. Yeah. I'm not even going to talk about those. That was feels like 2 years ago at this point. But, you know, they're a team that can beat anybody, and they're a team that can lose to anybody. It depends on who we get. Big 12 tournament looked pretty promising, except for the final 5 minutes against Arizona. But for the game against UCF, UCF played their butts off. That was the best I've seen them play all year. So don't downplay that at all. They're a team that in that game looked like they could beat anybody for that, like, 10-minute span of the second half against Arizona. They look like a team that could go to the Elite Eight, everything like that. It just depends on who we're going to get, what they're going to do from outside, if they're going to be able to shoot a three-pointer, if it's going to be the team that we see that shoots five, or what they're going to do. So,
well, they've been shooting the three well lately. I wonder, too, like, if you're going to get something out of Diggy Coit, this is probably the shot to take on that, because you don't have to worry as much about his perimeter defense, which has been a problem. So I think as we put like bets together, it's hard to not go with Hunter Dickinson, especially on long rest one game. Like, I would say his points and rebounds up above 30 is probably pretty good. I don't know about the over under. I haven't looked at what the over under is. Just in theory though, like I could see this game getting up there. As good as KU is defensively, like, they haven't been that team in a little while, but they have to be.
Yeah, on top of that, too, I mean, you've got to keep in mind the way that Zeke Mayo has been shooting as of late, too. So there's that opportunity. There's that chance for Mayo, if he can hit the shots like he has over the last couple of weeks, that, you know, the point total could definitely go up.
I think it's the fact that we talked about this, about the draw that they got. KU's a team that likes to play slower. They like to grind you out defensively and win a game 60-55. Every team in the SEC wants to score 100 points, whoever they are. Arkansas is on the lower end of that. They're not Florida or Alabama that likes to run that many possessions up, but they're a team that's going to try to score a lot of points. Whatever it is, I'm probably going to take the over in that.
Yeah, tournament games, I don't like over and unders in tournament games anyway, because sometimes teams are just they're not feeling it. Zeke Mayo's a good one to bet too, by the way, because he's gonna take the shots. So probably like 3+ is a safe Mayo bet, because I'll bet you he takes at least 7, if not more.
I would have been a lot more worried about Kansas in this game and in potentially the next game if Mayo hadn't have been able to pull himself out of the bad spot that he was in, a few weeks ago. He's been shooting, much better. We saw him do that against UCF. We really even saw him do that against Arizona, too.
Yeah, he's a key. I don't know if he's the key, but he's a key. They just need some combination. And whether it's Diggy Coit or Ryland Griffin, whoever it is, they need some combination of those guys to be a threat and to make some shots, right? Because what else are you going to do offensively? Like, Hunter Dickinson's going to be great, I think, in the game, but he can't score 50.
This is the same thing I brought up, you know, whenever they got Hunter Dickinson last year and watched them play, and then this year as well. I thought back to as soon as they got Hunter Dickinson of the Fairleigh Dickinson versus Zach Edey. And it's like, whenever you have a college basketball team that relies guys on playing that way and playing through your center, you're going to get chipped by a team that makes 23 pointers. And so they have to find a way to not be the team that does everything through Hunter, because at some point, 2 points versus 3 points, you're going to take the threes and all those possessions, they're going to knock you off. That's the recipe for Cinderella's that love to play teams like this. Zach Edey and Purdue figured it out with the national championship the next year. But whenever you have teams like that, it's not written on the wall. But.
So are you calling John Calipari a Cinderella? Is that what you're calling him today?
I mean, he's a double-digit seed, I guess. I don't know what the term of Cinderella is.
Teams that don't get to spend $15 to $20 million on their basketball program probably would be a good place to start. They're not any more of a Cinderella than Kansas is a Cinderella.
I liked yesterday in Bill Self's presser, I don't know if you heard this, he said that he doesn't like the draw, but they don't deserve a good draw. But nobody's really talking about them, and they may be able to sneak up on a team. The Kansas Jayhawks might
be able
to sneak
up on a team.
I'm not sure anybody's
sneaking up on – Kansas is sneaking up on anybody.
Not when they were the preseason number one and not when they have Hunter Dickinson. That's the thing. Like, as bad as it's been, relatively speaking, they can't sneak up on anybody because you look at them – and you're like, oh, yeah, DeJuan Harris won a national championship. KJ Adams won a national championship. Hunter Dickinson's one of the best players in the country. Zeke Mayo can make six threes a game. Like
Island Griffin, made a run with Alabama.
But here we are. It's not the best fit together for this group. But, again, how many times have we said it? They are capable of beating anybody on any given day on any court. Not just because they get lucky, because they're good enough to do it.
You got
to
have somebody. Every KU fan on social media that you'll find talks about who is going to be the Remy Martin, because you can't go far without a Remy Martin on your team. If you only have Hunter and Zeke, you're not going to be able to get it done. Who's the Remy Martin?
I don't think AJ Store? Be Diggy because they Diggy? Can't leave Diggy. It's probably a better chance to be Ryland Griffin.
I think it's going to be Griffin. I think it had to be Griffin to be that guy. There was that flash, the small flash of AJ Store, but I don't think it's going to be him consistently.
Keep an eye on DeJuan Harris. DeJuan Harris has shot more. I think it was in, I want to say it was six of his last eight. I checked this earlier this week. He's taken at least seven shots. So he's being a little more, I don't know if that's a good thing. There was a point in his career where we were begging for it, right? Like take more shots. I don't know that that's the case now, but this is it for him. And he can attack the basket with anybody. Yeah. So is this the time to do it? Probably. So,
I mean, even in that senior day game against Arizona, he talked about, he understands that's his last game he's ever going to play at Allen Fieldhouse. And he played good. I mean, he came out and played really aggressive in that game. And so, him and KJ are two guys that won a national championship for a reason. They're huge parts. They just have to have the parts around them to be that much better.
Yeah, I think KJ will play well in this. You mentioned Flory Badunga. His leash will be an interesting one.
Yeah.
Because it's not – if Arkansas struggles to defend the post, I wouldn't – Flory's not like the offensive threat I ever think about. It's like his presence down there. So I'm not sure. If they don't defend the post well, I might lean KJ a little more heavily.
I think
we know he can do it.
Yeah, and I think that he provides just that energy level. I think really, though, on the defensive end of the court, it goes back to what we've been talking about all week.
Yeah.
They've got to be able to defend the three. They've got to be able to try to find ways to close out, get off ball screens, do as much as they can to be able to get to keep Arkansas from having wide open looks from the perimeter.
That's what I'm saying. It's going to be
they're going to have wide open looks from the perimeter. I mean, they just can't. Teams that play Kansas do. It's can they not hit shots?
I was going to say, it's just going to be Kansas defense versus SEC offense, basically. Can you slow it down and can you limit the amount of possessions? Like KU is going to have to be, I think, really diligent and slowing down the shot clock and playing their game of basketball, because they can't defend like that for 100 possessions or whatever it's going to be that Arkansas is going to try for.
Last year, Kansas was in a very similar situation. I mean, really, like it was like they can't play a team that shoots the three well, and they played two of them.
Yep. Yeah.
They almost lost to Samford. They did lose to Gonzaga. That's where, when we talk about the draw and liking the draw, there's probably PTSD in that from last year, where it was like, oh, God, no. Like, look at the teams they drew. This year, complete opposite, even though they're two better teams than what they drew last year. So what a weird dynamic for Kansas, right? Like, it's just – I feel so much better about them going into the first round of the NCAA tournament this year than I did last year. And they may have – and they did have a more disappointing year this year.
One thing that we talked about, we're kind of split, I think, on if this team is good enough to beat St. John, they get there.
I think that they can beat St. John.
I do too.
Because, if you want to talk about how bad of a shooting team Arkansas is, St. John is even worse, at least from beyond the arc.
Right.
And so, again, like that draw does favor the Jayhawks, but they've got to be able to execute. It's going to come down to them. And the kinds of shots they can make, whether it's Zeke Mayo from beyond the arc or Hunter Dickinson in the post.
All that being said, we are talking about the Kansas Jayhawks, and as we've seen for the past, you know, decade, if your team playing Kansas Jayhawks, you're going to make 10 threes. That's the way it works.
Yeah, well, in the tournament, yeah, for sure. And can they withstand that? And I think that's a good point. Kansas would like to play great. And honestly, I think Kansas can play good defense, and that still happen. I think those things can coexist to some degree, but they have to be great everywhere else. The question is, can they keep up with that, right? Can they generate enough offense to keep up with that inevitability that that's going to happen? They have shown us at times this year that they can, but they can't do it without Zeke Mayo. I think it's Zeke Mayo. You said, right, Zeke's got to be good or they're going to be in trouble, most likely. So it'll be a tip time at 6:10. It'll kind of kick off the night session here. So we're looking forward to it. It'll be on K-Witch.
Going to be competing with Mizzou Drake here.
But that gives you two good options, honestly.
Totally. Yeah,
like you can bounce in, you can bounce out, or just watch KU, but, you know, have the energy of that. I think both is the right answer. But it's going to be great. And well, I'll show people here. We got a couple minutes left. You see that screen right there. Is going to have games down here, which is really, really cool. So we're looking forward to that. We're looking forward to having the games inside. And then, guys, and I've said this, and we're just about to leave the air here. I'm looking forward to all these places around just have basketball games on. Just do a little bar hopping.
Yeah, and we're still, a little over two hours away from tip time here locally. Here locally.
But you'll have three other games that we'll have tipped before we get in there and go.
I was figuring out what I was going to do because I was supposed to go live even earlier this morning. And I was like, it's fine. We'll get done at 10. I'll go home and take a nap and come back at noon. And I'm like, what am I talking about? I'm sitting here all day. It's fine.
I'm sitting here all day, too. I got to do a noon live shot. And then I'm going to find one of these great places, whether it's one of these food trucks or restaurants, have some lunch. We got TJ and I have newscasts all day. Tommy's going to be up here with the Odyssey crew all day. We're going to be having fun. Yeah. And again, we'll write your hooky notes. If you got them, bring them. We'll sign them. Just say you get to take off work. Most people are.
Yeah.
That I've talked to. They're going to take like a half day and then get down here and be ready to party.
I've heard of so many watch parties, not only around here where we are right now, but all over town, all over. I mean, and that's the way it is every single year. I mean, especially when, like, you've got Kansas playing on that opening day in primetime right after work. You know, people are going to be doing watch parties all over the place.
Yeah, it is the best day of the year, and the weather, you know, we're in the shade right now, so that's why we still have these jackets on, but out in that sunshine, it's starting to get
it's really nice.
Yeah. The wind is dead. It is as bright. There's not a cloud in the sky. This is perfect, perfect weather for the springtime. We got about 1 minute left, fellas. Enjoy the bets today. Enjoy the games. We'll be back here tomorrow, 7 to 11 again live. Thanks to Max for keeping us on the air back in the studio. Thanks to Tim Fitzgerald for stopping by. For everybody, we'll see you down here. It's time to party, everybody. Opening day of March Madness. We'll see you tomorrow.